You're listening to The Music Show on RN, on Radio Australia and online. It's back to the present, to the 2013 Melbourne Festival, which began last night with The Crowd. You might have heard me talking to Richard Tognetti on last week's show about The Crowd. Another of the musical highlights of this year's Melbourne Festival is The Black of the Star, Le Noir de l'Étoile. It's a piece by the French composer Gérard Griset, who was really one of the most influential composers in classical music at the end of the 20th century. Speak Percussion are performing this work, and in a moment, the artistic director Eugene Ughetti will tell us all about it. But let's set the scene. This is the way that the performance began when Speak Percussion gave the Australian premiere of Le Noir de l'Étoile in Tasmania a couple of years ago.
In 1967, a young astronomer detected in the sky a rapidly varying radio signal in the form of periodic impulses coming every 1.3 seconds. The discovery caused a sensation. The pulsations were so regular that for a time they were seriously thought to be coming from some extraterrestrial civilization. The astrophysicists then revealed an equally surprising fact. The signals were actually emitted by a pulsar, a fantastically compact residue generated in the explosion of supernovae that had caused the disintegration of massive stars long ago. Pulsars have a radius of no more than 15 kilometers, for a mass equivalent to that of the Sun. They are made of such compact matter that their atoms are literally crushed into a solid mass of neutrons. A thimble made of neutron star matter would weigh 100 billion tons on Earth. Pulsars are huge magnetized spinning tops. Some rotate several dozen times per second, and their magnetic field is 1,000 billion times greater than that of the Earth. The pulsar's lines of magnetic force canalize the electrically charged particles of interstellar space along its magnetic axis, producing a beam of light that rotates with the star, like a cosmic lighthouse. With each rotation, the beam sweeps the line of sight of the Earth, and astronomers record a light pulsation. Part of this radiation is emitted within the radio wave band and can thus be picked up by large radio telescopes. Radio telescopes are sophisticated radar instruments built to detect radio signals of low intensity, such as those coming from distant stars. They consist of a huge, smooth metal or wire mesh surface on which radio waves are reflected. Antennas turn the waves into electric signals. These signals can be amplified and used to excite the membrane of a loudspeaker, making them audible to the human ear as the humming of pulsars.
Those are the words of Jean-Pierre Luminet, the astrophysicist, introducing music by Gérard Griset, in particular his work for percussion, The Dark of the Star, Le Noir de l'Étoile. And as I mentioned, Eugene Ughetti and his colleagues in Speak Percussion are going to be performing this piece in the Melbourne Festival, and Eugene is in our Melbourne studio. Welcome back to The Music Show, Eugene.
Thanks, Andy.
Let's begin with Griset, because he's not a household name, and yet, in a curious way, he's one of the most famous names among contemporary musicians, performers and composers of the last 50 years or so. First of all, who was he?
Well, Griset was an amazing French composer, and I suppose he's probably most famous for being I suppose, one of the fathers of the spectral school of composition. And I guess perhaps one of the reasons he isn't so well known is because he sadly died at the age of 52, so he wasn't around all that long. But he had some very famous teachers and has some very famous students too.
Now we need to find out what spectral composition is, because there will be people who've got some very strange ideas, and quite rightly so, when they hear those words.
Yeah, well, spectral music essentially is the art of doing a timbral analysis of a sound and using that analysis, using the raw data, to then feed back into the compositional process. So it's essentially a scientific way of looking at sound in its very purest form and then reworking that empirical data back into the musical material.
Can you give us an example of how that might work?
So, for example, let's say we played the sound of a trumpet and you did an analysis of all the various overtones that exist inherently in that sound of a trumpet, and you might come up with some figures, some numbers which tell you about the prominent partials, and then you might be able to do an analysis that tells you, okay, well, they're approximately this many, this far apart in frequencies, and then those numbers could then be fed back into, say, another tone row that a composer could use, or a harmonic field. So that's a pretty common and a standard way of applying that kind of technique.
So when any composer writes, for example, a flute piece, they're probably going to take into account the flute, aren't they? They're going to say, oh, the flute sounds like this, and it sounds a bit different at the top of its register than it does at the bottom of a register, and it can play from this note to that note, and it can play certain notes very effectively loud. And so, in other words, you take the measurements of an instrument in the way that you would take the measurements of somebody who walked into your tailor's shop wanting to buy a suit. But this is going much further, isn't it? This is actually running a computer over the whole thing and measuring anything that you can get your hands on.
Absolutely. And it's essentially what I would describe as a kind of phenomenological approach. So a way of looking at what inherently makes the flute sound the flute sound, irrespective of its range or its capabilities at, you know, certain parts of the instrument or its, you know, technical limitations. But looking really at that, what is that the distinct characteristic of that sound, and how can that feed back into the composition in a very pure way?
And in a way, it's an extension of two things, it seems to me. One is that medieval Renaissance idea of measuring a building and using the structure and the numerals that you get out of it, the shape and size of a building in a composition, and in a sense relating that to the acoustic. But it's also on a much more sort of understandable level, it's just that French thing about colour.
Yes.
Which is in Debussy and Ravel and Messiaen and everywhere else, isn't it? I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but this is taking it to extremes again.
Well, it is, absolutely. And I mean, some people would even consider Messiaen and Debussy as proto-spectral composers from that perspective. But I think what's really particularly interesting is that Griset was, in a sense, this spectral movement was a kind of reaction against, or at least a variation on, the kind of modernist thinking of the time. And that was more interested in pure numbers, and the spectralists were probably more interested in numbers that were meaningful to actual sounds. So they had their hands, let's say, more deeply engaged with real sound itself.
Yes, and also real emotion, it seems to me, when I listen to their music.
I think so. I agree.
Tell us about this piece, the Black of the Star. I mean, a piece that's for drums doesn't seem that promising from the spectral point of view, and the fact that it's got the word black in the title that sort of doesn't seem that promising from the colour point of view.
No. Well, what's so fascinating about this piece is that it takes as its central point of departure the pulsar. And a pulsar is essentially a neutron star with a phenomenal amount of density and energy. So, and interestingly, they were discovered in about the late 60s, 10 years before Griset wrote the piece. And what's fascinating about pulsars as subject matter for a percussion work is, well, firstly, they are thousands to up to millions of light years away from Earth. So already there's a time-space dimension that kind of trumps most music ever written. Secondly, they are of extraordinary density and moving at really fast rates. They rotate up to 716 times per second, but some are also quite slow. They're also extraordinarily regular, or some of them are, and in fact so regular that they're more consistent in tempo than any known clock to mankind so far, more accurate than an atomic clock. And what is also quite beautiful is that the signals from pulsars can be picked up by radio telescopes. So it means that essentially the behavior, the pulsing of pulsars, can be turned into real sound information. So, of course, again, a beautiful type of material to use with percussionists.
Yes. So tell us about this piece and how it works on a sort of logistical basis, because it's not a short piece, is it?
No, the piece is about an hour long, and it's for six percussionists spatialized. So essentially the audience is in the middle of the space, and they're surrounded by six players in an equal circle. And this piece unfolds beautifully over the course of this hour, and essentially one feels like they are transported out into space. Literally, the time-space dimensions of the work make you feel like you're well and truly floating in outer space. And you hear what could be imagined to be radiation and debris and magnetic pulls and all kinds of things that one would associate with interstellar life. But what's also really beautiful is that Grisez uses actual recordings or sonifications of pulsar signals in the piece as well. And so when you hear all this music orbiting around you, at different times in the piece we hear pulsar sounds as well. And what I'm so excited to say about this particular realization of the work is that where Speak Percussion is collaborating with SIL, this Sound Information Architectural Laboratory at RMIT, and they're going to be doing an 18-channel sound diffusion of these pulsars. So what that essentially means is the pulsar signals are also going to be orbiting, literally moving around the physical space, around the audience, just as a planet or a magnetic pull does in the outer cosmos.
And so that wouldn't normally happen in a performance of this piece?
No. Well, essentially the pulsar signals are received as a mono signal, and normally I suppose most groups playing this piece would just send out a stereo, a pair of speakers would play back the pulsars. But we've decided to step it up on a couple of levels, and one of them is to work with SIL to turn this pulsar signal into a moving object around the space.
And what about when you've got players as spread out as all of this suggests, how do they synchronise with each other?
All six players are working with networked click tracks. So each person has their own timekeeping device played back to them in their headset, but each timekeeping device is unique. So they're all aligned by computer, so it means that we can be absolutely precise even if there's a 50-metre gap between player one and player six. But at the same time, we're not all playing in the same regular tempo. We're at different tempi. So it means that it would be like sitting out in the middle of the solar system, perhaps, or further out in the universe, and hearing multiple pulsars at different points in space pulsating at you at different times, but perfectly synchronised.
Wow. So and presumably that gives Grisez the opportunity to suddenly have players play an attack which is together.
Absolutely, and it's extremely precise.
Wow. Well, I'm in. I mean, there are so many aspects to this piece that really make you want to go and sit in the middle
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely, it's definitely one of the great masterworks of the percussion ensemble.
Yes,
literature, without a doubt.
The whole business of running a percussion ensemble. I mean, you must be looking for works like this all the time because percussion ensembles, in a way that other ensembles simply can't, are continually reinventing themselves, aren't they? And the instrumentation changes from piece to piece, for a start.
Well, that's right. And I mean, it's a huge battery, this particular piece. I mean, we need to be be tuning wooden slats across 24 different pitches, and there's a huge array of gongs and tuned skinned instruments that need to make up this piece. And you're absolutely right, it's a logistical challenge, but at the same time, it's still a relatively small body of work. For, you know, we haven't had much more than 150 or so years of, or even less really, 120 years of history. So works of this magnitude and of this quality are very rare.
Well, lots still to do then in the realm of writing for percussion, but in the meantime, one of the masterpieces of the percussion ensemble literature, Le Noir de l'Étoile, The Black of the Star by Gérard Griset, is being performed on Wednesday and Thursday at The Edge at Federation Square as part of the Melbourne Festival, and it's being performed by Speak Percussion, directed by Eugene Ughetti. And if there were any tickets still available at the beginning of this conversation, I'm guessing they will have all gone by the end of the show. Eugene, thank you very much indeed for being my guest on today's music show.
Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you.
and suitably enthusiastic response for Le Noir de l'Étoile, well, the last 3 minutes of it anyway, played by Speak Percussion. That was a couple of years ago in Tasmania, and thanks to ABC Classic FM for that recording, also to Speak Percussion. The performances in the Melbourne Festival this coming week, as I mentioned, there's one of them on Wednesday at The Edge and two on Thursday, and they're part of the Melbourne Festival.